The proposed change is part of a package of FOIA reforms Congressman Daryl Issa and Elijah Cummings introduced earlier this month. It's a revival of legislation that passed both houses of Congress last year, but since the House and Senate weren't able to work out their differences, it never went to the president's desk. This year's version, like last year's, would create a presumption of openness, placing the burden on federal agencies to prove that FOIA requests should be denied rather than the other way around. Among its other provisions, the bill would also raise the profile of OGIS, the Office of Government Information Services. It is already in charge of mediating FOIA disputes and making recommendations to Congress to improve the FOIA process. But as of now, OGIS is housed within the National Archives and Records Administration, and, like the rest of the executive branch, ultimately reports to the White House. Miriam Nesbitt became the first OGIS director in 2009, where she continued to serve until her retirement last November.
Under the law now, OGIS is not an independent watchdog or overseer. OGIS is a component of the executive branch and must send its proposed recommendations through the intra and interagency review process that all agencies must follow. If you want recommendations, reports, and testimony that have not had to be reviewed, changed, and approved by the very agencies that might be affected, then you should change the law. That doesn't mean that OGIS wants to or will be the FOIA police. That role is simply not compatible with the neutral, impartial mediator who brings parties together voluntarily to resolve their differences. However, the authority to report directly to Congress would be an important reform for an office that hears complaints, resolves disputes, reviews compliance, and is expected to speak truth to power. I might add that if I were still the director, I could not say this.
That more independent role could benefit both federal agencies and FOIA requesters, according to Rick Bloom, the director of the Sunshine in Government Institute, which represents media organizations. He argued agencies could stand to gain by having a neutral center of expertise they could turn to on tough FOIA questions, and ideally, requesters would benefit from getting quick answers in disputes over whether information should be released.
You know, you may remember the Miracle on the Hudson landing. Well, in the days and weeks after that landing, reporters wanted to know from the FAA, how often does this happen? Is this a persistent problem, or was this just kind of a one in a million kind of thing? And the FAA initially said, yes, well, we have information, and we're going to give that out. And then within a few days, they reversed themselves and said, no, this would affect transportation security, and there's an Exemption 3 statute that allows us to withhold information if disclosure might harm air safety. Well, you know, there was a lot of public attention. Actually, the news media did write about that and did write about FOIA and the limitations. And the, to their credit, their transportation secretary overturned that and released that information. That, I think that that's a role where it doesn't have to get to that level. And OGIS can say, wait a minute, did you really mean to say that, you know, bird strikes on airplanes, if discussed and disclosed, you know, would encourage someone else to create this kind of accident? You know, that's just not going to happen. Ms. Nisbet is correct. We don't have a FOIA police, but OGIS is the closest thing that we have. And we'd like some rationality and clarity when these kinds of results happen.
This year's version of the Issa-Cummings bill also aims to make OGIS and agencies' own FOIA public advocates the preferred alternatives to costly lawsuits by requiring agencies to tell requesters that they have a right to turn to OGIS. Among other provisions, it would also mandate an electronic government-wide portal to submit and manage FOIA requests and tell the Government Accountability Office to conduct a thorough review of one of the most often used exemptions to FOIA, the vague Exemption 3, which lets agencies turn down requests or redact information if they can come up with any other federal law which they believe protects it from release. Virginia Congressman Jerry Connolly is a co-sponsor of the bill.
Individual statutory exemptions are often slipped into legislation without consultation with this committee. We don't even know how many exemptions are on the books. Requiring GAO to catalog those exemptions will help us identify outdated or inappropriate exemptions.
The legislation would also demand that agencies take a more proactive approach to FOIA.
Some agencies, including EPA and GSA, have already been working on such a portal. Agencies would also be required to post online all releasable information that's been requested three or more times, and to review their systems of records and post releasable information online if it is likely to be in the public interest.
As a matter of policy, most agencies already do some version of that through the electronic reading rooms on their public websites. But enshrining it into statute in the way the bill is written could create some vexing conflicts with other federal laws, according to Frederick Sadler, who worked as a FOIA officer in the Food and Drug Administration for more than 40 years. For example, Section 508 of the Rehabilitation Act requires agencies to make sure that any information they post online is accessible to visually impaired people who use software to translate text into speech.
If the FOIA requirement for posting frequently requested records or more were to become law and there is no increase in resources, the FOIA officer will have to choose which statute to violate.
That's because a lot of government information that's subject to FOIA simply isn't compatible with text-to-speech technology. Handwritten documents, papers in foreign languages, graphs and charts. Under current law, that information either needs to be turned into an accessible format through a process called remediation or taken down from an agency website within 20 days. Sadler says the Section 508 problem comes up a lot when agencies are trying to scan paper records into an electronic format.
Remediation will pick up every little nit and unclear line as part of its optical character recognition. An A becomes an E, an I becomes an L, and therefore it is rendered illegible and unusable by the visually handicapped. We issued a letter to a food company for distributing power bars, breakfast bars kind of thing, which did not include specific ingredients that were required to be included by law. And in this case, the firm did not put peanuts on the product labeling. The letter of admonition came to my office for posting. It came to us in Word, and at that time, it could not be remediated easily, so we went through the process and posted the letter. Unfortunately, the phrase allergy-inducing ingredient was mistranslated by the optical scanner as orgy-inducing ingredients, which was publicity that the firm couldn't buy. Everything had to come down immediately, and all of the documents have to be reread line by line, word by word, to ensure that they are appropriately remediated.
While FOIA reform did not make the cut in the last Congress, open government advocates say they have strong reason for hope that things will be different this year. Companion legislation to the ISA-Cummings bill has already been introduced and marked up in the Senate, a significant sign, they say, since it's happening so early in the new legislative session, giving plenty of time for debate and amendments, and hopefully eliminating the prospect of any last-minute roadblocks before the bill dies again. In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com, and 1500.